This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Before we begin this program, we would like to wish our listeners, wherever you are and whoever you are, a happy and prosperous New Year 2025. Now, stay tuned for our bulletin of church news, which will be followed by our feature Health and Healing and our segment on the Holy Year 2025. I am John Baptist Tumusime. Wednesday, January 1st, 2025 was the Feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. The day was also marked in the Catholic Church as World Day of Peace. In his address to the faithful before reciting the traditional non-angelus prayer at St. Peter's Square here in the Vatican, Pope Francis invited the faithful to safeguard life by building a civilization of peace. He prayed that the Blessed Virgin Mary may teach us to keep the joy of the gospel in our hearts and to bear witness to it in the world. We have a report.
Pope Francis led the midday Angelus prayer in a crowd at St. Peter's Square on New Year's Day, reflecting on the surprise and joy of Christmas. The Pope recalled today's gospel that narrates the arrival of the shepherds in the grotto in Bethlehem after witnessing the proclamation of the angels, telling them about the newborn Savior, Messiah, and Lord. The Pope described this encounter, which fills everyone with wonder, as they saw with their own eyes the infant Jesus, and they experienced the heart of Mary, who kept and reflected on all these things. Recalling the Hebrew meaning of Jesus, which is God saves, the Pope explained how this is exactly what the Lord will do and came into the world to accomplish by offering his very life.
Dio invece ha scelto di nascere per noi.
God chose to be born for us, the Pope explained, as Jesus is the revelation of his eternal love, which brings peace into the world. The Pope then explained how the heart of Mary corresponds to the newborn Messiah who manifests the mercy of the Father. Her immaculate heart is the ear that listened to the proclamation of the Archangel Gabriel and the hand of the bride given to Joseph, as well as the embrace experienced by Elizabeth in her old age. The Pope explained how in Mary's heart beats the hope of redemption and salvation for every creature.
Le mamme hanno sempre a cuore I loro figli.
And observing how mothers always have their children at heart, the Pope said on this New Year's Day dedicated to peace, we should remember mothers in a special way, those who rejoice in their heart and those who bear a heart full of suffering because their children have been taken away by violence, by arrogance, or by hatred. The Pope exclaimed how beautiful is peace and how inhuman is war, which breaks the hearts of mothers. In conclusion, the Pope suggested we carry out our own introspection on these themes, first looking at our ability to remain in silence, contemplating the birth of Jesus, and how we try to cherish in our own hearts the wondrous reality and message of goodness and salvation. He also recommended we reflect on how we can reciprocate such a great gift by freely offering gestures of peace, forgiveness, and reconciliation. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Earlier on Wednesday morning, Pope Francis had presided over Holy Mass in St. Peter's Basilica. In his homily, he appealed for peace and for the protection of human life. We have another report.
Questo nuovo anno che si apre, affidiamola a Maria, Madre di Dio.
Pope Francis invited the faithful to entrust the new year to Mary, the Mother of God, expressing the hope that we might learn, like her, to protect the precious gift of life. All of us, he said, are called to take up the summons that flows from the heart of Mary to cherish life, to care for life, to restore dignity to the lives of every human person. Because, he explained, This is the basis for building a civilization of peace.
È la base fondamentale per costruire una civiltà della pace.
Citing his own message for the World Day of Peace, also celebrated today, the Holy Father said this is the reason for his own appeal for a firm commitment to respect the dignity of human life from conception to natural death. Pope Francis said that today's feast immerses us once more in the mystery of Christmas, a mystery summed up in the second reading, where St. Paul tells us that God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. These words echo in our hearts today, the Pope said, and remind us that Jesus, our Savior, became flesh and is revealed in the frailty of the flesh. Jesus, he continued, is one of us and is thus able to save us. His coming as a tiny baby similarly reveals God's choice to act through littleness and tenderness. By the frailty of his humanity, the Pope said, Jesus shows us the face of God.
Affidiamo a lei questo nuovo anno giubilare.
Concluding his homily, Pope Francis once again called on us to entrust to Mary not only this Jubilee year, but also all of our questions, worries, sufferings, joys, and all the concerns we hold in our hearts, and to entrust to her the whole world, so that hope may be reborn and peace may finally spring up for all the peoples of the world.
Perché finalmente germogli la pace per tutti i popoli della terra.
I'm Christopher Wells.
Pope Francis has sent a message of condolence to the Vicar General of the Salesian Congregation, Father Stefano Motorio, following the death of Cardinal Angelo Amato, the retired prefect of the Congregation for the Causes of Saints, now renamed Dicastery for the Causes of Saints. Cardinal Amato, a member of the Salesian Order, died on Tuesday, December 31st, at the age of 86 years. He was prefect of the Congregation for the Causes of Saints from 2008 to 2018. In the message, Pope Francis described him as a man who was dedicated to the service of the Church, a faithful servant of Christ, and prayed that the Almighty welcomes him to heaven and grants him eternal rest. Pope Francis presided over Vespers on Tuesday evening, December 31st, to thank God for the benefits he granted to humanity in the year 2024. In his homily focused on the universal vocation of the city of Rome, he said Rome is called to welcome everyone so that each person can recognize himself or herself as a child of God and as a brother and sister among the children of God. The Pope expressed gratitude for the work of thousands of men and women for the opening days of the Jubilee year and underlined that Rome, also known as the Eternal City, is ready to welcome men and women from all over the world, Catholics and Christians of other confessions, believers of every religion, seekers of truth, freedom, justice and peace, because they are all pilgrims of hope and fraternity. At the conclusion of his homily, the Holy Father invoked the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, to help us to walk together as pilgrims of hope on the path of fraternity. The Archbishop of Abidjan in Ivory Coast, Cardinal Ignace Dogbo, has called for unity as the country prepares for the presidential election scheduled for October this year. In a message issued in Abidjan on the occasion of World Day of Peace, Cardinal Dogbo emphasized the value of peace, which he said transcends electoral and other considerations. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
The president of Ivory Coast, Alassane Ouattara, has announced that French troops will withdraw from the country before the end of this year. He made the announcement on Tuesday evening in his end-of-year address. He said the military bases that French troops have been using will be handed over to the Ivorian government. Ivory Coast has the biggest contingent of French troops in West Africa. The announcement is a further indicator of the declining French influence among its former colonies. Senegal announced last month that it would be closing France's military base in the country in the coming month, while the military governments of Chad, Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger have already forced France to withdraw all its troops from the four countries. The president of Kenya, William Ruto, acknowledged on Tuesday evening that the country's security forces committed abuses against civilians in quelling last July's demonstrations against tax rises and after. The abuses included beatings, kidnappings, killings, and illegal detentions. The president was speaking in his end-of-year address. He reminded Kenyans that every freedom has its limits and that public safety and order must always supersede the desire for unchecked liberty. Dozens of civilians are reported to have either disappeared, detained without trial, or killed by the Kenyan security agencies. The opposition in Chad has called for the annulment of the local, provincial and parliamentary elections held last Sunday, December 29th, for which they had called a boycott. Opposition political leaders said on Wednesday that they wanted the formation of a new transitional government and appealed to the country's electoral commission not to count the votes that were cast by the supporters of the current transitional government, citing the low turnout. But the commission said vote counting was underway and would announce the winners as soon as it is ready. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio. And now, our feature, Health and Healing. The United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, released a report recently confirming that girls around the world tend to spend more time on social media than boys and that this is affecting their mental health. The report was compiled from research conducted by UNESCO and published research from experts from different countries around the world. Social media are noted in the report as means of communication of concern because the rules they use to rank, filter, and organize the content for users magnify negative gender norms and practices. Some of the social media are designed to be addictive, and hence excessive screen time does affect attention spans and learning habits. Girls' mental health in particular is eroded, especially when they are subjected to negative feelings about appearance and body image. Ana Diadio was one of the UNESCO officials who wrote the report. She explains.
The report first looks at the impact of technology on girls' education opportunities and outcomes, but also it goes a step further, saying that while technology offers many opportunities for girls, especially in crisis contexts and emergencies, it presents a lot of dangers and risks for young users, but especially for girls. And finally, it looks at the issue of technology on the side of education opportunities, and in fact, looking this through a gender lens allows to see how much disadvantage of girls still in accessing science and technology careers, engineering careers, so the STEM path, and in terms of choice of subjects, in terms of graduation rates, and presents some new and latest data from the UNESCO Institute of Statistics that show really how much behind we are in this area. This has a lot of consequences because it means that diversity is not also in the production of idea and products, developments of technology, especially with the rise of artificial intelligence. This is a very important issue.
Tell me a little bit about what the report attributes increased social media usage in girls to and why it affects them differently.
the issue of the spark in social media usage concern all boys and girls. And this is because of different factors. Of course, we know very well that there is this widespread availability of smartphone and high-speed internet, global connectivity. So the fact that social media provides a very easy way for users to connect with others worldwide. And really, this ability to establish and maintain a relationship, even at a distance, has been really appealing. I would say in the last years, the evidence has shown that, for example, girls have much more often problem of mental health compared to boys. The latest survey about health behaviors that is produced by the World Health Organization has shown that double the number of girls reported a mental health problem compared to boys. So this points to some issues that really needs to be taken into account because it's something that affects their well-being, and the well-being is important for learning.
Do you think there is any way that this increased social media usage can be positive for young girls?
There are examples in the report that shows that this digital technology used together with the right messaging can have a positive effect. So yes, definitely. But I think that what is important is to use, to learn and to teach how to use social media and technology.
And the report recommends ethical considerations in the design of social media platforms to support girls' well-being. What would this look like?
Social media framework and platform should provide privacy settings that are easy to understand and to use. So also, there is this important issue that the report tackles, that is the bias in the algorithm, in the machine learning algorithm. And in fact, I think that's something really important, the fact that the algorithm of social media are addictive and very biased. So it's important also to make sure that algorithms are designed to minimize exposure to harmful content and develop tools that combat cyberbullying.
Finally, can you just give us one or two ways UNESCO will work on remedying the remaining stubborn exclusion of girls' access and attainment to education?
Our role in terms of gender equality is quite clear. We advocate for policy that make education system more inclusive. For example, we organize events with different stakeholders, with Minister of Education, but also with civil society, with students, activists that help to disseminate the different findings and messages of our reports. We organize campaigns to raise awareness of different issues.
Ana Diadio, an official of the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, speaking there to Shane Hate. And that was Health and Healing for this week.
Pilgrims of Hope, a weekly program of news, views and reflections on the Jubilee Year 2025.
It's my pleasure to welcome you to this brand new year filled with hope. As I, on behalf of all of us here in the English African section of the Vatican Radio, wish you a happy new year. This is another segment of our program, Pilgrims of Hope, a weekly journey with you on the ongoing Great Jubilee Year of 2025. My name is Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe, and I'm so grateful to God for this miracle of experiencing another Great Jubilee in the life of the church. On the eve of Christmas, the 24th of December 2024, we experienced another history being made as the Holy Father, Pope Francis, opened the Holy Door of St. Peter's Basilica, Vatican City, which marked the official beginning of the Jubilee Year of Hope. This event was witnessed by so many pilgrims who expressed their joy in being part of the event. Today, we have one of them with us in the studio who would love to share her experience with us. We know you as a staff here in the Swahilian section of the Vatican Radio, but please, could you tell us more about yourself?
Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm Angela Rizaula, originally from Kagera in Tanzania, and some time I've been studying, working and living in Italy. And now, as you rightly said, I work in Vatican News, Vatican Radio in the Kiswahili section. I am a lay consecrated woman with the Sacred Order of St. Francis of Assisi, in short, OFS. By profession, first of all, I am a trained teacher in the Tanzanian and Italian school system. I'm also a trained communicator, so I have taught for many years in Tanzania and in Italy. As a communicator, I have worked with Radio Maria, and now here I am. I feel blessed and called in a special way to work for the Holy Father, Pope Francis, Radio Vatican. And my work here at Vatican Radio, every day we bring news about the Pope's activities and also stories of the Church in Africa to our Kiswahili speakers of Eastern Africa and beyond. As a former teacher, I'm very passionate about the education of Africa's children and young people. All children in Africa should go to school. No child should be sent away from the classroom because of lack of school fees. I'm also passionate about encouraging vocations to the priesthood. I pray for vocations and wish for many more young men to answer the call to become priests. I pray for vocations to the priesthood always. Also for the girls to hear the voice of God, like Mother Mary, who said, "Here I am," when the angel Gabriel appeared to her. In a nutshell, that's all about me.
Recently, you were privileged to be among those chosen to represent the African continent during the official opening of the Jubilee Year on Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2024, by Pope Francis. How did you prepare for that special occasion?
It is true that I had this opportunity to be chosen as one of the representatives of the African continent at the opening of the Holy Door by Pope Francis when he celebrated the Christmas Eve and officially opened the Jubilee Year. So, I was one of the few people who entered the Holy Door right behind Pope Francis. It is an experience I never expected in my life. I thank whoever thought of me and suggested my name. How did I prepare for this event? As you know, the Church encourages every pilgrim to avail themselves for the sacrament of reconciliation and Mass before entering the Holy Door, or within 1 week after entering the door. We are also encouraged to reflect on God's mercy and pray for His blessings and grace, not just for myself, but for others as well. So, in short, I prepared myself physically and spiritually, knowing I'm a sinner. In my work, I've been writing and giving information about the Jubilee. I also took time to read again the document of the Holy Father on this Jubilee. The document has a Latin title, Spes non confundit, means hope does not disappoint. I encourage everyone to read this document.
Thank you so much, Sister Angela, for sharing with us your experience, which has made us feel as if we were really present during the event. We are really grateful for your contribution. And this brings us to the end of today's segment of our program on the Jubilee 2025, as I once again wish you all a happy new year filled with hope. I still remain your companion on the journey, Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe. See you next week on this same station and at the same time. Jubilee Prayer.
Father in heaven, may the faith you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our brother, and the flame of charity enkindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, reawaken in us the blessed hope for the coming of your kingdom. May your grace transform us into tireless cultivators of the seeds of the gospel. May those seeds transform from within both humanity and the whole cosmos in the sure expectation of a new heaven and a new earth, when, with the powers of evil vanquished, your glory will shine eternally. May the grace of the Jubilee reawaken in us pilgrims of hope, a yearning for the treasures of heaven. May that same grace spread the joy and peace of our Redeemer throughout the earth. To you, our God, eternally blessed, be glory and praise forever. Amen.
You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, Culture and Society. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.